Lord, help us to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. Please be seated. I would just like to start us off today with an observation that in the Gospel of John, Jesus performs several signs, and the purpose of those is to draw attention to himself, to point to himself and say, "The Son of God has come. Come and believe and be brought into everlasting life." Now, this is taking place in a wedding, and I have to imagine that if I were the bride, or maybe the mother of the bride, and someone else came to my wedding and said, "Everyone, look at me, I have arrived," I could be a little mad by that. I mean, part of me wants to think that maybe this is the real reason Jesus turned to his mom and said, "Now is not the time, mother." In all seriousness, though, this story of Jesus at the wedding of Cana is significant. And that's because this is Jesus' first public miracle. The story goes that he collected his disciples and he went out and he's at this wedding where the wedding party runs out of wine and Jesus turns water into wine. In the Gospel of John, whenever Jesus performs these miracles, they're always referred to as signs. They're signs because they are always meant to point to something beyond themselves about the nature of Jesus' fundamental nature as Christ. They're signs because they're meant to capture our attention and to direct us toward Christ for who he is and how he's working in our world. And this is the very first one. This is the first sign in the gospel. So this is like the opening act, the raising of the curtain on Jesus' ministry. And so potential angry bride notwithstanding, right, when Jesus comes and turns the water into wine, he is saying to the world, "Christ is here. Christ has come. It is time to celebrate." Now, one of the great things about the Gospel of John is that it's always operating on multiple layers of meaning at the same time. And one of those layers that I want to look at is what I'll call the 30 AD layer, or what's going on in Jesus' world at the wedding with his disciples there. And the next layer I want to look at is going to be what I'll call the 90 AD layer, or that's at the time the gospel is being written. What's going on in the world while these people are writing this gospel? And then after we look at those, I want to take a look at one more, a third layer, and I'm going to call that the 2016 AD layer, or what's going on in our world right now, and how this sign is telling us about the world right now. I mean, the 30 AD layer, you have Jesus showing up at a wedding. And for whatever reason, the wine has run out. Now, this wasn't just an inconvenience, and it wouldn't be just an embarrassment for the people. I mean, this was a disaster. This could carry with it serious social, maybe even legal implications for the wedding couple. I mean, their guests have come and have brought them gifts to do them honor, and in return, they've run out of wine. And this could have tarnished their reputation. This could have shown people that they were dishonorable and been an insult to the people, made them untrustworthy. So this is a big deal, but Jesus intervenes, and he takes what amounts to more than 120 gallons of water and turns it into wine. And not just any wine, but he turns it into the best quality wine there is. Such abundance, such overflowing abundance, more than they could ever all need, plenty to share, and it's of the best kind there is. Jesus sends a message here to people, and it's loud and clear. This message, Christ has come, it's time to celebrate. Jesus is here promising everlasting life, and it's for everyone. So it's time for joy, it's time for love, it's time to get excited. It's time to believe in God's promise. And there's more than enough for us all, and it's better than anything else there is in the world. This overflowing abundance of good wine is a sign that points to Christ's overflowing abundance and goodness. Now, the other important symbol that's happening here at the wedding is that Jesus didn't just take any water and turn it into wine. He actually took the water in the stone jars that were meant for ritual purification. And in the Jewish community, they had very specific rituals about keeping God's law. And Jesus is not so subtly saying here, you don't need those anymore. I am here now. Just believe in me. And you know, we're in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says to the people, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In the Gospel of John, it comes down a little bit more on the side of, yeah, Jesus is here to replace the law. And that's part of what makes the Bible so much fun, right? That's part of why it's great that we have these multiple Gospels in there, because they're kind of in dialogue with each other and leading us, leading the Jewish people and now us to sort of wonder, the law is replaced because Jesus is here, Christ is here, but the laws are not replaced, and it leads us into dialogue. The Jews were divided over this. What to do about this? And that takes us to the 90 AD layer. And scholars point to a community that they call the Johannine community that was centered around Ephesus. And these were the people who wrote the Gospel of John. And they were Jews. They were Jews who had come to believe in Christ. They were Jews that did exactly what the gospel is saying, that they came to believe in Christ and believed that with that came that promise of abundant and good life. Now, they lived in the midst of their fellow Jews, and some of whom chose not to believe in Christ. And tensions kind of rise between the people who thought you still need to keep the law, people who thought you don't need to keep the law, those who chose to believe and those who didn't. And tensions rose, and they came to a head around 70 AD when the Jewish temple is destroyed. And this was a devastating, traumatic blow to the Jewish people everywhere. I mean, even the Jews who had come to believe in Christ, this would be traumatic for them. This was still one of their holiest of sites, and it was taken away from them. And Johannine Christians felt like they were pushed away by their fellow people. Their holy places were destroyed. They had lost their rituals and traditions. But what they held on to was the belief that Christ had come and it was time to celebrate. The old ways and the old rituals could be taken away or challenged, but what could not be taken away was that Christ had come. And with him, he brought the promise of everlasting life. So when they sat down and they wrote this gospel and telling the story of the wedding in Cana, this is an important opening sign because it's saying no matter what changes come, no matter what changes are coming your way, if you hold on to your rootedness in the belief in Christ, you'll be centered. The wine may run out, our temple could be destroyed, but God's love is abundant and it is good. Now that brings us to the 2016 layer. And this sign is as relevant to us today here as it was 2,000 years ago. Because we have a great church here, and we'll always be faced with changes. We have great traditions here that enrich our lives and embolden our spirituality. And we're called to remember that what's at the heart of all of that, the heart of it is at Christ. Being centered in that is especially important when we find ourselves faced with changes that feel like they may threaten our faith. There are always going to be new prayer book revisions and new chapels and new clergy coming and going, and these changes could make us feel uneasy. But Christ has come into this world, and the promise of life is unfailing. Our temple here around us could be destroyed like the Jews. Temple was destroyed. I mean, we here in Waco, we know what a tornado can do, right, when it goes through town. And if our church was destroyed, if our building was destroyed, it would be devastating to us. But we know that our rootedness in the belief in Christ means that that everlasting life promised to us can't be threatened. Can't be threatened by changes to our building. And if the church says someday we're going to bring in the 2027 Book of Common Prayer or the 2033 Book of Common Prayer, and it feels like our traditions and our rituals are being changed on us, We're called to look at the heart of it and realize that it's still rooted in Christ, and at the center of it, our rituals and our traditions are Christ. And there will always be new rectors coming and going, new curates, new youth ministers, new choir directors coming and going. But what won't change is Christ's presence at the heart of it all. And Christ will always be there to guide us to where we're going next. We are a blessed people here at St. Paul's. We're blessed because people in 30 AD were faced with great change, and in the midst of it, they found abundance and goodness in Christ. Because in 90 AD, people were faced with great change, and in the midst of it, they found abundance and goodness in Christ. And because here in 2016, we're faced with great change, and in the midst of it, we find abundance and goodness of Christ. Christ has come. It's time to celebrate. Amen.